Praise the Lord, that we may experience what happened for us on Golgotha. We don't just sing about it. We have experienced what Golgotha means for a person who believes in what happened there. Faith is always the prerequisite for God to do in our lives what He has already done. This is very important. Faith is a prerequisite for everything. Without faith, it is impossible to please God. The brother made the following remark earlier when we were praying together. He said, the whole life of a believer is a preparation for the last hour, for the moment when we pass from believing unto seeing. And I believe that is what we understood last night from the heartfelt sermon we heard. Today, I will translate the last part of it. It is not too long. And then this afternoon, I will translate a whole sermon that will last about 40 minutes, so that we can all take home a richly shaken and stirred portion. I know the value of the Word of God. I believe you do too. I believe that God's Word has become precious and valuable to us. Surely we have realized what was important for Brother Branham. Not just to serve, but to serve God. Not just to preach, but to preach what God has to say to His people. There is much preaching everywhere. But God had His servants at all times, whom He could directly commission, whom He could inspire, whom He could send, who spoke rightly in His name, yes, who could even say, "Thus saith the Lord." There were such servants, and I was reminded of the word that Brother Rus read last night. It was probably 1 Timothy 1, where Paul said, "God wanted to set an example with me." What a fullness of long-suffering and blessing He has prepared for His own. This morning, after I woke up, I thought about this. God has given us an example in this generation, an example of His grace, His saving power, an example of becoming a believer, and an example of a faithful proclamation, biblical proclamation, and all that goes with it. We can rightly say that Brother Branham was an example set by God, a model to show us what has been prepared for us. But we should not admire the role model or even worship him, as is often the case. It should spur us on to say to the Lord, what you can do for one, you can also do for all. Here we are, do unto us according to your grace. That is what God wants to achieve. And I believe that these gatherings are meant to serve, may serve, to bring us to the point where we see in faith what we have heard and what has been promised to us. May such a great desire for the revelation of God's power arise in all of us, a desire that the nature of Jesus may be revealed in us and through us, that people may be addressed, saved, and added. I also thought about this earlier today. about what God had in mind for humanity. He wanted to have fellowship with us. And when this was interrupted in the Garden of Eden, he immediately had a plan to bring humanity back into fellowship with himself. He shed the blood of the lambs there so that he could clothe the first humans in skins. In doing so, he indicated how redemption, reconciliation and fellowship with him would be restored. I believe there is a passage at the end of the Epistle to the Corinthians where Paul wrote his final words to the church about the fellowship of the Holy Spirit. Here it says, in 2 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. This is not a doxology. It is not something that should be said at the end of every church service. But the wish of a man of God that it should be so in the lives of believers, that the grace of Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit is a supernatural, divine fellowship that unites believers, fellowship among those who have been reconciled with God. We are not a club. We are the church of the living God. When we have found peace with God and have experienced the grace of God and tasted the love of God through redemption and forgiveness, then we are brought into the fellowship of the Spirit. Paul writes elsewhere, if there be any consolation, if any comfort, if any fellowship of the Spirit, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded. Such verses are not there, as I have just said, to be uttered with the lips at the end of a service. They are there for us to experience them, to become part of our life as believers, so that grace may reign as grace in our lives, and grace and mercy glories over judgment, yes, triumphs over judgment. And God says, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy. It was precisely Moses to whom this was said, who had a special experience. It is reported in Exodus 33. Here it says in verse 11, and the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. Who can believe that? I can believe it. Not only because it is written. God is a living God, a personal God, a God who can speak, who can write, a God who is a person, not a blurred thing. But the Lord God is a person. He created human beings in His image. He spoke to the prophets and revealed Himself to them again and again. And when He became man in Jesus Christ, as Emmanuel, He walked among us. That is, here on earth. How beautiful to read such a verse. How beautiful when then a desire arises in us. O Lord, do not be silent any longer. Begin to reveal yourself. How many expect the supernatural and miraculous to happen among God's people? How many even count on it anymore? Of course, when we look at the visible, we may be discouraged, but let us look at the many witnesses. And as it is written, we are surrounded by a great cloud of witnesses, by people who have actually experienced God, who have heard His voice, who have had fellowship with Him. We too need such fellowship, a fellowship of the Spirit, an intimate divine fellowship with the Lord and with one another. And the Lord spake unto Moses face to face, as a man speaketh unto his friend. You all know that we believe that God speaks to us through His Word. He makes it alive. It is effective. It works in us. But how wonderful it would be if we could also experience the supernatural with God. That strengthens our faith and gives us new courage, even though we already believe. And yet, these things were and still are a source of strength, a comfort, and refreshing for us all. I'll read on from verse 18. And Moses said, Exodus 33, from verse 18, And Moses said, I beseech thee, show me thy glory. And the Lord said, I will make all my goodness pass before thee, and I will proclaim the name of the Lord before thee, and will be gracious to whom I will be gracious, and will show mercy on whom I will show mercy. And he said, Thou canst not see my face, for there shall no man see me and live. And the Lord said, Behold, there is a place by me, and thou shalt stand upon a rock, and it shall come to pass, while my glory passes by, that I will put thee in a clift of the rock, and will cover thee with my hand while I pass by. And I will take away mine hand, and thou shalt see my back parts, but my face shall not be seen. So it was in the Old Testament. God had turned His back on humanity, separated from them by sin. There was a middle wall of partition. In the New Testament it is different. There He turned His face towards us. And Paul writes in 2 Corinthians 4 that the glory of God shines in the face of Jesus Christ. Perhaps I will read it. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. You can read some verses. I will only read verse 6. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, has shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God has a face. He has hands and feet. As I just said, He is a person, not a blurred idea, not an invention, a personal God who has revealed Himself to you and me personally in Christ. He could say, whoever has seen me has seen the Father. Here we read, if I take my hand away, you will see my back, but my face cannot be seen. And then we think of the wonderful promise in the Sermon on the Mount, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Amen. They shall see God. And Job said, "Though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet shall I see God." This is the hope of the redeemed. And whoever carries this hope within them will not be put to shame. There was another word from Galatians 1, from verse 13, that stood out to me in connection with a word I read last night. Here Paul writes, Galatians 1, from verse 13, "For ye have heard of my conversation in time past in the Jews' religion, how that beyond measure I persecuted the church of God and wasted it, and profited in the Jews' religion above many my equals in mine own nation, being more exceedingly zealous of the traditions of my fathers." He was zealous in the Jewish way without having any understanding of what God had already done. It was about traditions. And our Lord says in Mark 7:7, "You have laid aside the commandment of God, teaching for doctrines the commandments of men. In vain do they worship me." And then it says in verse 15, "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me, that I might preach him among the heathen, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood, neither went I up to Jerusalem to them which were apostles before me, but I went into Arabia and returned again unto Damascus." God has his way with his own. If we have been destined by him to see his glory, then the day will come when we will meet him and experience him. But listen once more to the sentence that means so much. "But when it pleased God, who separated me from my mother's womb and called me by his grace to reveal his Son in me." There must be a revelation of Jesus Christ, the Son of God, in our lives. Not only the words, but the nature and the life of Jesus must be revealed, just as the life of God was revealed in Jesus' life. So must the life and nature of Jesus Christ be revealed in us who have become believers. "For it pleased him to reveal his Son in me." We could continue in Galatians 3, which is actually one of the most important passages for all those who have become believers and want to participate in the rapture. Indeed, for all who want to see the Lord. Here it says in Colossians 3, verse 4, "When Christ, who is our life, shall appear, then shall ye also appear with him in glory." Only when Christ is revealed in our lives will we also be revealed with him in glory. if he cannot reveal himself in our lives, if he cannot live his life through us, if that does not come to light, then we may be believers, but we will certainly not be able to be there in the first resurrection. But even for that, we are grateful that God, in his great goodness and mercy, still has ways and means. Those who are not among the wise will be among the foolish, and those who do not belong to either of these two groups will still have a chance to be saved in the end, if their names are written in the book of life. For everyone can read in Revelation 20 from verse 11 that at the final judgment, all those whose names were not written in the book of life were thrown into the lake of fire, the second death. But all whose names were written in the book of life entered into eternal life. As I said, God cares for everyone. For everyone, at least for three groups from the nations. For those who have part in the first resurrection, who will be allowed to be there as the bride and will enter into glory with the bridegroom, then with those who were foolish but gave their lives and will enter into the millennium. They too are not lost. They just could not take part in the rapture and then those at the final judgment. Where would you like to be? Which group would you like to be with? I believe we come here to hear the word of promise. We come here to be prepared for the glorious day of the return of Jesus Christ. We do not come here expecting to be accepted at the last judgment because our names are written in the book of life. No, we come here to be prepared for the first resurrection. Who wants to be there? That is our goal. Amen. Praise be to God. Come what may and come what will. If we believe the word of God's promise, we understand that our names are not only written in the book of life, but also in the Lamb's book of life. We haven't gone into much detail about this yet, but that is the big difference. Some are written in the Lamb's book of life, and others in the book of life. Blessed are those who follow the Lamb wherever he goes, who have given up their own lives from their hearts, not just with their lips, so that God's life may be revealed in us. I believe that the time is very near, and I wanted to wait until the end of the year, but I have the impression that we are very close to the things that God has promised to do. As you know, I have written and said in past years that the year 1977 will come and go. People were angry with me about that. It has proven to be true. I have mentioned other years that will come and go, including the year 1987. But if someone were to ask me today, would you dare to write that the year 1988 will come and go? Come, yes. Go, only God knows. In any case, I am in great expectation. I am not a prophet, and if I were, I would not know when the day and hour would be. Sometimes there are siblings whom we love dearly. They come to us tactfully and say, "Brother Frank, you surely know more than you are willing to say." Sometimes I wish I knew more than I want to say. But as I've already emphasized, even the greatest prophet could say nothing about this because he does not know. If it is written that even the Son and the angels in heaven do not know, but only the Father, then it will remain so forever, and that's it. But we see the signs of the times, and we observe developments in all areas, and can lift up our heads, because we know that our redemption is drawing near. I would like to exhort, urge, and beg everyone, if we ever wanted to serve the Lord, let us do so now. If we ever wanted to be at His disposal, then now is the time. If we ever wanted to live for Him, then now is the time. For the final phase, and what God has promised to do, may soon be upon us. I am counting on it. May God grant it to us. Let us now sing together, Only Believe, and then I will translate the second part.
Glaube nur. Alles ist möglich, oh Glaube.
Each one wants to take his own way. That's the way it was there. Each group had their own idea. But that's not the question tonight. That's not what I'm talking about.
Amen.
But the question I'm asking you is, what do you think it is? It concerns you. Who is this that's going up and down the nations? Not man. Man cannot do those things. Who is it that's speaking and saying to the people in the audience, as sitting right here, over here, in different places in the meeting, when women and men are brought in here dying? Who is it, that young woman that walked into the baptistry this morning, that 3 weeks ago dying with sarcoma cancer? Lives right here on Maple Street, Mrs. Beatty. And I asked 3 doctors that was with her. She didn't have one chance to live. With 4 or 5 little children and my mother trying to take care of them. Mama said, Bill, she'll never come home again. And I went out to where she was, and the Lord Jesus spoke, dust. Saith the Lord, if she will go to the church and promise to be baptized into the name of the Lord Jesus and will serve God, she'll go home.
Amen.
Well, and I asked her, will you do this, lady? And she said, all that you say, I'll do it. How needed are the pains left? 3 days later, she was home, and the doctors can't find one trace of that cancer.
Amen.
Who is this that cometh in the name of the Lord? Who is it? It's the Holy Spirit of God.
Amen.
What's your opinion of it? What's your opinion, knowing your pastor? And when sitting in these seats here, people from out of town, sitting with epilepsy, sitting with, here sits a man somewhere in here, a Mennonite brother, right here, a sufferer of epilepsy. Never knew, seen him, nothing about him. And all of a sudden, about 2 years ago, I guess, or something, 2 years, the Holy Spirit called it and said, thus saith the Lord.
Amen.
He's never had a spell since. Who is it? Who is it? This woman was sitting here last Sunday, the last time I was here, and come down from somewhere in Illinois the next day with a great tumor in her body that was malignant. And some of the best medical science of Illinois was taking her to a great clinic to be operated on Monday, and she squeezed her way in. Never seen her or heard of her in all my life. And all of a sudden the Holy Spirit shadowed her, and it told her who she was, where she come from, and she was going to be operated the next day. How many were sure then to see that?
Amen.
See the news flow back the next day when she went to the doctor. They take her from clinic to clinic and can't find the trace of it.
Amen.
Who is this? Oh, God, be merciful.
Amen.
Who is this that's doing this? Could you dare to say it was your pastor? Never. Could you dare to say man had anything to do into it? Never. It's the Holy Spirit. The Spirit that was on our Lord Jesus and is coming to unite himself with his church is so close that he's spreading forth his great holy light to redeem and to bring into
Amen.
Fellowship a church of the living God for the rapture that's near at hand. Amen. Who is it? I can't answer your question. I can't answer for you, but I can answer for myself. And over this sacred desk tonight, in the ears of this the company, and the purchase of the blood of our Lord Jesus, I say this from the bottom of my heart. Not because that I'm one of you. Not because that I'm just somebody different, but one of the redeemed that's washed by the blood. I believe that that same light that hangs in this church tonight, that same one shows by its nature that it's Jesus Christ in the form of the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
Anyone who knows the Scripture knows that Jesus said, I come from God and I go to God.
Amen.
Before he was made flesh with Moses in the wilderness, he was a pillar of fire. And when Moses desired to see him, he passed his back parts to him. And Moses said, it looks like a man. When he was here on earth, he was a man. He'd done the very same things that he's doing today through man that he has redeemed. Now he comes and have his picture taken. What is it? After his death, burial, and resurrection, Paul was on his road to Damascus one day. And a great light struck him down.
Amen.
Those men around him didn't see the light. But it struck Paul down to made him blind. He had trouble with his eyes the rest of his life. And he said one time, except I should be exalted above the abundance of the revelation, there was given to me a thorn in his flesh, a messenger of Satan to buffet him. Because it was the abundance of the revelation. And when Paul was stricken down on his road to persecute the people that were making too much noise, the born again group, the people that were called heretics, Paul was on his road to persecute those with papers in his pocket to arrest them and bring them to Jerusalem. And about middle of the day, there come a light down that struck him off of his feet to the ground, and he fell into the dust of the earth. There come a voice from that light saying, Saul, Saul, why persecutest thou me? And Saul turned over in his blinded condition, looked up, and he could see that great glorious light. And he said, Lord, who are you? He said, I'm Jesus. I came from God. I went to God. I come from God. I return to God. And he said, it's hard for you to kick against the pricks. One revelation on that sacred sand. One time upon that place, man can never be the same.
Amen.
A man, before he should call himself a Christian, before he can identify himself, he should first have that backside of the desert experience where he met God face to face. For today you can have any kind of an answer. You can see the Lord perform just exactly what he said to, and smart theologians will explain it away. They'll say that was for another day, it was for this, or it's for another age, or it's wrong. Like they said of Jesus, he's Beelzebub, the devil, he's a fortune teller. And all those things, they have an answer. But when a man has ever come in contact with Christ and seen him as Paul did or experienced him, there's not enough theologians in the world to ever be able to explain that experience away from a man. That's the reason today they don't have the experience. That's the reason they can't say, they're all saying, who is this? What is this? Where does it come from? They don't have the answer. Why? Because all they know is the theology that some church has made. Not to know theology is life. Not to know the Bible is life. But to know him is life. To know him as your personal Savior, as the one who has filled you with his presence. You were there when it happened. There's nobody can take it away from you. There's no one can explain it away from you. When that experience happens to you, you know who he is. To me, he's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Who is this that's performing these miracles? Who is it that's doing these great works? Is it the preacher? Is it Oral Roberts? Is it Billy Graham? Is it Jack Schuller? William Branham? Whoever it may be, they have nothing to do into it. They're instruments. It's the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Coming forth with the gospel in signs and wonders and miracles to make ready a people. The heirs charged with expectations, with believers expecting him to come, and others are saying, why these revivals? Why do we have it? Let's settle down to a church. Why, it's been said in the church right here that when we started to build the new church, said we don't need miracles. We don't need these things anymore. You want them going out on the field where they're happening? We don't need them here. When the Branham Tabernacle stoops to that low place, it's sunk.
Amen.
This church is founded upon the principles and the power and the gospel of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
And as long as this tabernacle stands, may the glorious Holy Spirit find access to souls to save. Amen. And fill with the Holy Ghost and heal the sick.
Amen.
To me, it's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. Let us pray. If you do not know who he is, you do not know what all this is about, and you would like to know, would you just do so much as raise your hand and say, by raising your hand, pray for me, Brother Branham, that I'll know him. And the Lord bless you. And all around, I see your hands. Now, Heavenly Father, we bring this message and the fruits of the people raising their hands that they would like to know who this is. They would like to be acquainted with this great Jesus. Amen. That his coming of the resurrection is so close to the sixth. Amen. Beginning to be healed. And after that taking place, then prophecy came into the church. Then gifts and miracles. Now down to that last sign. The next will come the rapture. The church will be taken away. And we, Lord, who have claimed to know you in the power of your resurrection, we are waiting and longing and crying and begging, come, Lord Jesus. Rapture your church and get it away quickly, Lord. For soon men are going to blow up the earth that you created for them to live on. Because they have disobeyed you. They have not studied peace but war. They have not studied righteousness but they've studied mischief. How that they would not all be power hungry. Lord, that little spot in their heart that makes them hunger for power, they're trying to satisfy it in a laboratory somewhere to blow up their fellow man. God, if they could only realize that power that they long for is the power of the resurrection of the Son of God.
Amen.
the power of the Holy Ghost to change their lives. Not grow up nations, but change their lives and make them your servants. Many people stricken with wild crazed, they identify us as a bunch of not knowing nothing and as heretics as they did in the early days. But as they return rejoicing, thanking you that they could bear the reproach of your name, that's the feeling of your children tonight, Lord. Everywhere, we're only happy. Some in your day tried to identify you. They said he is a friend of that wild man, John, who came out of the wilderness with hardly clothes on, just an old sheepskin wrapped around him. A wild man that flung the words east and west and said the axe is laid to the root of the tree. Said he is a follower of him. He's a wild man. He's mad. He's out of his mind. The supernatural ministry that was with you, O Lord, blinded the eyes of those. And so has it again today. This great Holy Spirit forerunning the coming of the Lord as John did in his day. Blinding the people to those who do not want to see, but to those who are willing to see. Thou hast chosen them. And all that the Father has given me will come to me, you said. And none of them will be lost, and I'll raise him up at the last day. We thank thee for this. And those who have raised their hands tonight, we pray, O Lord God, that you'll make yourself known to them in an experience in the power of the resurrection. Grant it, Lord. And others may be here who did not raise their hand, but yet in their heart they knew that they needed it. I pray that you'll bless them and give to them the desire of their heart. We leave the building tonight. May we go as different people. May we go with a different purpose than we had coming in if it was contrary to your divine will. May we go out with a determination to hold to the horns of the altar until our soul is satisfied. Amen. That we have had an experience with you. And we know of whom we speak because we have met him and know him and have fellowship with him. Grant these things, Father. Heal the sick and afflicted. Bless our lovely and precious pastor. God, we pray that you'll be with him and his lovely sisters as they sing the gospel and preach it in their radio. Bless the strangers that's in our gates. Lord, may they go out tonight with a charge in their heart and a purpose that they, from this hour on, if they do not know you and have not served you before, may they serve you, knowing this, that all other things will come to naught. But the word of the Lord shall remain forever.
Amen.
Grant it, Father. Forgive us all of our sins. And may we meet at that great goal. Message. Let's just bow our heads and worship him.
Amen.
As we sang to him, I love him with all your heart. I love him because he first loved me. How many really love him? Raise your hand and say, just by witness, I love him. Oh, isn't he wonderful?
So,
praise the Lord. What shall we say? We always emphasize here that we have no formalities. We want to experience God as long as he can be experienced. Seek him as long as he can be found. Serve him as long as there is time. Work as long as it is day. For the night is coming when no one can work. I only hope that the context and the translation were good enough and that we were all able to follow. I no longer have the concentration I had 20 years ago. This may not belong here, but something happened to me yesterday morning. I grounded my coffee beans so beautifully and had taken out the container and cleaned it and put it next to the machine, then turned it on, walked to the lift, and when I came back, the whole kitchen was full of coffee powder. Yes, that's how it is when you get older. But we are so grateful to the Lord, so grateful for the grace and privilege of being able to serve Him, to be alive now, and to be of clear mind, and not only to have heard the message of the hour, but to have it revealed to us. There is a big difference between hearing it and then forming your own opinion about it. To us, it was revealed through the Spirit, and that's why we could place it biblically. And for that, we are also grateful to God. And listen, perhaps you heard it well. Brother Branham asked repeatedly, "Who do you say that he is, who does all these things, who works, who speaks, who saves, who heals?" And so on. And he then said, "Who would dare to say it is Brother Branham or it is someone else? No one would dare, not even us. It is the Lord who works all things in all, according to the good pleasure of His will." Even the greatest prophet could only say what God had to say. And through this, faith should be awakened in the listeners, so that they may seek and find their personal relationship with God, and from this connection with God, have their experience with the Lord. Not an evangelist converts people, not an evangelist saves, not a man of God heals. No, we proclaim the word, and the Lord does the rest. May He begin to do more, to do greater things in our midst, in our lives, so that we no longer need to ask, "Is God in your midst?" That we could say, "Yes, He is in our midst. He is doing today what He did then." And as I said in the opening word, just as Paul was an example, a role model back then, so we may take Brother Branham, who preached the same gospel, experienced the same confirmation, baptized as he did, and did everything in accordance with the doctrine of the apostles. So we take Brother Branham as an example of God's restoration in these last days. He not only had the message of restoration, he had a restored divine life, a restored divine ministry, a restoration in all areas, salvation, healing, everything that was originally there has been restored in all its fullness. May we be granted to experience this restoration in its entirety, to become a part of what God is doing now. And I am certain that it is happening for a very specific purpose. The promises of God may be delayed, and Bible prophecy, as one of the minor prophets in the Old Testament says, "It tarries, but wait for it. It will surely come." What the Lord has said will surely happen. Let us be glad that God has given us so much grace to believe as the scripture says, and we must also be prepared to accept reproach and misunderstanding. The way of the Lord is a way with a cross. Let everyone take up his cross and follow me. And if we persevere in this struggle of faith until the end, then we too will be crowned. We are all waiting for that day. And I believe, as I said yesterday evening, that there are many among us who will not see death, but will experience the transformation of their bodies. I believe that. I believe that the words Paul wrote back then, like all the other words of Scripture, must be fulfilled at some point, must be confirmed as true at some point. And if there ever was a time, yesterday I read something that was new to me, Luther's prediction of the time of the Lord's return. I knew that many had done so, but he too had specified the year in which he expected the Lord's return. This was new to me. I read it again to be sure that he had indeed expected the Lord's return. I knew that he had expected it, but I did not know that he had even expected it in his own lifetime, and had even given a year as the last. And strangely enough, even back then, he used scriptures that we use today. But the time had not yet come. But today the time has come, and how grateful we can be. Someone may say, weren't these people disappointed because they did not see the fulfillment of it? They were not disappointed at all. They will see the fulfillment together with us and rejoice heartily. A person who goes home saved is not disappointed. He may rest until the day of completion comes, when all those who have gone home saved will appear before the Lord, and then sit down with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God to sup with him. Beloved in the Lord, we too belong to the blood-bought multitude. We too belong to those who have been saved and who are born again to a living hope. We too belong to those who are waiting for the Lord to come. And may it not only be so, but may we use the time we have to prepare ourselves so that when the Lord comes, we may go out to meet him. But before he returns, the mighty work must be revealed in our midst. Perhaps I should correct myself and say, the most powerful work of God must take place. I believe this, and perhaps rightly so, for Brother Branham's ministry in terms of confirmation and whatever goes with it actually went as far as what Jesus Christ himself had. It went beyond what James, John, Peter, and the apostles had. Believe me, I know the ministry of the brothers in the Bible, and also the ministry of my Lord. Brother Branham's ministry went back. It was more apostolic. It was more prophetic. It was the ministry of Jesus Christ here on earth in the 20th century. And I count on that the ministry of the church will also go back to that. According to the scripture, the works that I do, ye shall do also, and greater works than these shall ye do, for I go unto the Father. This word must also be fulfilled. When we have a scripture on which we can base ourselves, it is always good. Then it is biblical faith and living hope that we carry within us, and therefore we will not be put to shame. No, God did not call us out to be put to shame. He called us out so that we might see His final glory and share in what He will do among His own. We can only say, Lord, here we are. Do with us as you please. We are at your disposal. Praise be to the name of the Lord. Amen. Let us stand and worship. Perhaps we will sing two or three choruses in worship, opening our hearts and our mouths. Oh, I want to see him. I want to see the one who died for me, always rejoicing and praising his saving deed, wanting to sing on golden streets, bright and clear, after the fight, glory and joy forever. Oh, I want to see him, the one who died for me, always rejoicing and praising his saving deed, wanting to sing on golden streets, bright and clear, after the battle, glory and joy forever. We bow our heads, open our hearts, close our eyes, seek fellowship with God in prayer, with a desire that our words not only rise to the ceiling, but reach the throne of grace because of the shed blood of the Lamb of God on the cross at Calvary. Our Savior, as High Priest of good things to come, entered the heavenly sanctuary with His own blood. He offered it on the mercy seat. It speaks for us. It speaks better than the blood of Abel. It still speaks today. Let us come to the Lord in this way, with bowed hearts, bowed heads, but not in discontent, but in confidence, as it is written, that we may enter the heavenly sanctuary with confidence, looking up to Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. He is a faithful High Priest who has compassion, yes, who can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. He is still on the throne. He intercedes for us, even now. Take it from the hand of the Lord. Do not judge yourselves any longer. Accept God's judgment. Do not torment yourselves any longer, but believe that He is our justification. In Him we too have been justified, sanctified, and prepared. Accept it now in faith, and we will give thanks to the Lord together. Thank Him that He has accomplished His work not only on Golgotha, but also in us. Through the power of His blood, His word, and His spirit, He is present even now to work in us. Count on salvation, on healing, on deliverance, on every blessing that God has given us in Christ. Simply count on it now in faith. He has given us everything. It belongs to us. Accept it in faith. Now let us no longer ask and beg or even plead, but give thanks. Give thanks that the Lord has accepted us, that He has saved us, that He has healed us, that He has blessed us, that He has spoken to us, that He has revealed Himself to us, that He has made known to us the mysteries of His Word. Give thanks and give thanks again to the Lord our God, who has done great things. Let us now offer our thanks to our God with one voice. Brother Russ will come and pray. Let us all pray together. Faithful God, we thank you together in this morning hour, O Lord, and we cannot help but offer you our thanks, for you alone are the one who does great things, O Lord. You have made yourself known, and you will continue to make yourself known. We believe now in this hour, we believe now in this moment, that you are not far away, that you are near, Lord. You accept your people, Lord. You accept our thanks from all our hearts and mouths, Lord. We praise and glorify your mercy that has been bestowed upon us. It is only mercy that may come to hear your word, O Lord. You have called with a mighty voice, and you take your own to yourself, Lord. We know, Lord, that your coming is very near. You will take to yourself, Lord, those who believe in you and who come to you with joy, to give you honor and thanks. Lord, bless all your people, bless everywhere, and bless us also this morning, Lord. We believe that you have done it, in Jesus' holy name. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.